Great. Well, I seem to remember this group.
They're still here.
Yeah, still here. Well, I thank you. This is, I think, from our perspective in Los Angeles County, important. As you can see, if you look at this grid of well to dead and then individual society, the population health interventions tend to aggregate in the left-hand side and get smaller as you go towards the right-hand side, and they're above the line because they're focused primarily on the societal aspects. And I think this is kind of a useful way, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but this is a useful way to think about the intervention. Where do they populate on this grid? So for us, how do we choose priorities for interventions? And we have all these things, you know, that you know of. We've been talking about 2020 and the national prevention strategy, about the local burden, our resources. I would highlight here the strength of partnerships is very important. There's very little we can do alone. There's almost nothing we can't do with the right partners. So this is a critical part. And of course, then there are the mandates, the grant requirements, and public health opportunity. These are the Healthy People goals. These are what we have adopted, what we've internalized. And here's Los Angeles County, this tiny 4,000 square mile with 88 incorporated cities, two islands, more than 41 states in terms of population. We are almost all minority except for Latinos. Right now, we have no minorities in Los Angeles County. Right? If you don't have a majority, you can't have a minority. We have over 100 languages spoken by a significant population, and we have about 4,000 people in 39 programs and 14 health centers. So it's a big span. One of the most important things we do is to give people key indicators. So for the different parts of LA County, we're indicating, this is, for example, a percentage of live births where the mother received late or no prenatal care, as an example, or colorectal cancer screening or immunizations. We have this for most of the preventive services based on data that we get through the LA Health Survey and the California Health Interview Survey. We do our own survey as well. So this is using evidence for performance. These guides are obviously critical guides for us, companion guides. And here is how we look at it. We have population goals that leads to indicators. How do we know if we're making progress? And then what are the effective strategies? When you get to these strategies, where you've used the strategic plan for the first and Healthy People for the second, we have to use the community guide, the clinical guide, the Cochrane collaboration, other sources of meta-analytic information. And then that goes into the performance standards. In some cases, we're not going to know the ultimate outcomes. We're not going all the way to health impact because we know that there's already that chain. In other cases, we can. Here's an example. I didn't choose this knowing Muhammad was going to talk about this, but it's the immunizations, obviously. You can see how we go from a population indicator, the level, to the effective strategies based on the guide, to then performance measures related to the performance goals and HO standards. So how do we apply these? This is an example. Community-wide campaigns promote the use of folic acid supplements. We have a comprehensive perinatal services program, CPSP, that promotes vitamins through pregnancy, working with all those groups there. But, as I said, partnerships are critical. But note that we're focusing a lot on the prenatal period and the interconception period, not just the prenatal period, because I think that's what's been the missing link, and we've been focusing very much on that. Dental caries. It was not easy, but we worked very hard politically for a long period of time to get support to fluoridate the largest municipal source of water in Los Angeles County. And we were successful with that. Now we're trying to fight it out at a local level because there are a lot of water systems. Now they have partially fluoridated water, and we have to make sure, and some have fully fluoridated water, but they mix local supplies with this wholesaler. And so now we're working on the second step of that as a very strong advocate. But there's still a lot of myths there, and there's some folks who will never change their views no matter what, so science is only helpful to some degree. Science then has to be married to policy and to politics. Vaccines prevent disease. We can talk about provider assessment and feedback, which is recommended. incorporated these recommendations into our strategic plan, the provider and client reminder recall, the provider education, the standing orders, and provider assessment and feedback is an important activity under the immunization program in terms of ensuring continued improvement of our practices. But we're giving, in fact, that feedback that's essential to providers. Talk about tobacco quickly. We know that there's a lot of things we can do to effectively reduce tobacco. And we have a tobacco control program. So what we've done is all of the things that we've done under the Community Putting Prevention to Work and the Community Transformation Grants, and we're very fortunate to have substantial dollars for both, is to, in fact, use community guide recommended strategies, policies, in terms of support of our broad objectives of reducing the prevalence of tobacco use. So we've given most of our money to community partners. These are the following interventions that we're working on: smoking bans and restrictions to reduce environmental tobacco smoke in outdoor areas. And we're particularly focusing now, because we've made progress with a number of cities, we're focusing on multi-unit housing, where you have central HVAC systems and people are, you know, next, have an asthmatic kid next door and they're getting, nobody in their house smokes, and they're, but next door in the same air conditioning system, heating system, there are people who are smoking. So those, we're focusing on that. We're also focusing through local retail licensing. So we're getting cities to require that if you want to sell tobacco in our city, you have to pay a separate fee, have to get licensed, and that money is used to do stings. And we found we've substantially reduced the under the youth access, at least at the retail level. We're supporting increase in tobacco prices, and we have used mass media with other interventions very, very aggressively, and giving out free nicotine replacement therapy. So we also provide technical assistance, and we provide community coalitions with the resources they need to become more effective. We have to have strong community partners. That's absolutely essential. Let's take the example of breast, cervical, and colon cancer screening. This is client-oriented interventions such as group education, reducing out-of-pocket, provider-oriented interventions. And the Office of Women's Health, a small office, uses one-on-one education to increase the screening for breast and cervical cancer by reducing structural barriers. Basically, they have people who can speak about 7 or 8 languages, not the same person, people, but in groups that are not necessarily the largest groups, but that are clearly underserved. And they also then arrange specific appointments at county facilities for them to, in fact, get this. We use client reminders through telephonic messages, we use small media, and we've eliminated at least the non-transportation related costs of getting the exams. Our PLACE program is another one, a livable active communities and environments, and we're trying to affect the physical environment. You can see the children on the right-hand side with walk to school day, and here are the interventions we're working on physical education. The community guide recommends the creation of enhanced access to places for physical activity combined with informational outreach, and also street scale urban design and land use, as well as community scale. So some is at the local level, some is community wide, and all those have strong evidence. So one of the things we've done is we've provided grants to cities and nonprofits to create policy changes locally to increase physical activity. These were relatively small grants, $125,000 a year for 2 or 3 years, and to provide input into the city and into the county planning, particularly focusing on walkability, on the use of bicycles, increasingly bikeability, access to public transportation, trying to reduce air pollution and the like. And we basically gave staff time in addition to money to these cities to help them deal with their individual city councils, because this was a decision that could be made at the local level. By local, I don't just mean the county, I mean the cities within the county. So what have we done? These are the proposals we got. We funded Safe Routes to School Plan, Bicycle and Pedestrian Master Plan, a transit-oriented development, complete streets policy, trying to get rid of cul-de-sacs, particularly for new developments. And then one that I would really focus on, because it's cross-cutting. It's not just about physical activity, and that is getting health as part of your community general plan, which means that if people come forward for any project, that they have to think of the health consequences. They have to get health stakeholders involved. How many of you live in communities that have that? We have one. So we probably have some room for improvement. Here is a City of El Monte Health and Wellness Element. They're one of our grantees, and they put in place a health and wellness element in their city plan in 2011, and that includes walkable retail. They're encouraging nodes of neighborhood-based retail within a quarter mile of all residences. The goal is you don't have to go walk more than a quarter mile to get some of the basic needs met retail-wise. Secondly, traffic calming. Extremely important to reduce traffic speeds if you want to have high volume pedestrians, if you want to have kids that you feel comfortable walking there. And then pedestrian lighting, particularly in areas where we're very concerned about safety. Social support interventions in community settings. This is in, if you want to look on the left-hand side, the Arceo Walk, and that's better signage. I mean, how many of you live in communities that have really good signage? You know where everything is if you don't live there. I've seen 1.5 hands. and so you have that in the center. You can see that there's a plan that you can come up and you see various places in the city. And then they're starting walking clubs. And they've got very high levels of participation. Again, trying to get the kind of social support that's important. Substance abuse as well. We're asking our contractors... Oops. Is that mine? No, I don't think I can take it right now. Sorry. And then if you look at here are all the things that are recommended. Some of them on this list are recommended for dram shop liability, increasing alcohol tax, and maintaining limits on hours of sale, et cetera, et cetera. So these are now put into an RFP. So our providers, our prevention providers, are asked, in fact, to focus on this, paying attention to limit the alcohol density, to change the economics of alcohol beverages, trying to get support for alcohol beverage, increase taxes, which is very difficult in California, to ensure compliance with responsible sales and service practice, that's dram shop liability, and to restrict alcohol availability and access to minors. So we are, in fact, doing this through our contractors, and we have a fair amount of prevention money to do that. And then we have something that goes to every physician in Los Angeles County, which is RX for Prevention, and it promotes high-impact, evidence-based clinical interventions, some of which comes from the community guide at the population level, at the healthcare system level, at the broad provider level, and some of it relates to the individual relationship between the provider and the patient. And that is then, you can get CME by in fact using this and answering questions about it. So we're offering CME as an inducement for physicians to learn more about evidence-based interventions. Here's a bunch of resources that I'm sure many of you know, but hope all of you find helpful, and the feedback we get from you is absolutely indispensable. So thank you so much.